your time wolf, I guess.
I guess you can just say you're half black whenever you want, so you get inward privileges.
Anyways.
You can't do that. That's not how that works. That's circumventing the rules, and I don't like it.
Alright, that's a conversation for another time. Welcome to the Four Corners Crime Cast. My name is Jake.
My name is Rory.
And I'm your host, Katie. And today we are going to be talking about the shooting of Gabrielle Giffords and Jared Lee Loughner.
Now, that was here in Tucson, where we are currently located. That happened, I don't know.
8 years ago.
8 years ago?
2011.
2011. So that happened 8 years ago. I was here at that time. I think I've been here about 10 years. So I think I do remember this happening.
Yeah, it was a pretty big fucking event. Like, it was... Barack Obama spoke on it. Like, it was pretty crazy.
Up in the north side?
Yeah, and you know if obesity...
Nice side of town.
The safest part of town, supposedly.
Yeah, I guess they could call it the safest part of town, maybe.
I mean, it's almost in Oro Valley. Actually, it's like 100 feet from the Oro Valley city limit.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it's true.
Interesting. Well, where do you want to know where we were when we remember getting the news about the shooting, or do you want
to... No, it wasn't 9/11. It wasn't that big of a deal.
I mean, we were here in Tucson. I just kind of remember it happening, but I really honestly don't know anything about it, so I'm kind of looking forward to Katie's... research on this one, because that means I don't have to do it and I can just sit here and bullshit.
Hell
with you.
So Jared Lee Loughner was born to Randy and Amy Loughner on September 10th, 1988. He was an only child, and surprisingly he lived a relatively normal childhood,
except for being an only child.
Surprise the only child is a turd.
He gets no love.
So the neighbors describe the family as very private, except for the times that they were actually able to hear Randy yelling at Jared over really minute problems.
And masturbating.
They heard Jared masturbating across the street.
He's just screaming at the top
the
of his lungs.
That was the first warning sign that he was going to shoot something huge.
He was aiming at everybody.
So he attended Mountain View High School, which is where his descent into his mental health problems began. And if you're from Tucson, you know where Mountain View is. Pretty much the rich kid side of town, I would say.
Monty, the mountain lion.
There's probably one of those places in every town where like the rich kids go, and it's like everything is nice, and they have like a functioning parental unit at home,
I
think.
Something like that, yeah. But literally no one besides probably his best friend Zach remember actually going to school with him. Zach was his best friend, quote unquote, and Jake, you actually know him, so.
I do. I knew him a long, long time ago when we were kids, and I still kind of know him, but yeah, I haven't really known him since we were like 12, like as friends.
Yeah, so did you know this other kid?
No.
You didn't know Loughner?
No.
Interesting. I don't believe you. You guys are best friends, right? Held hands on the playground and whatnot?
Yes.
There's a handful...
A little background on that is that Jake was homeschooled. So
why? That doesn't have anything to do with being insane.
No frame of reference for school life or anything like that. So
I wasn't homeschooled in high school.
Yeah, He did go to high school. 3 years high school, right?
Four
years.
No, I went to high school for 3 years.
Okay, sorry.
It was me that went to high school for 3 years.
Straight.
I graduated, by the way. I didn't drop out.
All right, Loughner.
So there was a handful of people that came forward to the FBI or were contacted after arrest because they attended school with him. Some of them said that he hung out with the Yu-Gi-Oh crowd and pretty much was a huge loner. Didn't have many friends besides Zach, obviously.
Yu-Gi-Oh in high school?
Yeah, Yu-Gi-Oh in high school. Oh, he was one of those kids.
What do you mean by one of those kids? Don't single people out like that.
There's
those
probably
kids
like five kids in Mountain
serial
View.
Shooters or whatever you want to call them.
Five kids a year. It's been a lot of years.
I mean,
are you embarrassed because you played Yu-Gi-Oh in high school?
I'd never even... No, my mom wouldn't let me play Yu-Gi-Oh. Are you fucking kidding me?
All the little pocket monsters were of the devil.
Yeah, those are...
Jesus frowns on childhood gambling. And that's what those games
were. That is exactly what
that is. That's probably true, yeah. But in 2006, he actually dropped out of high school, and everyone kind of begins to notice that his... mental health is taking a serious decline. He starts talking to himself. He starts talking to people that aren't there. Zach, his best friend, claims that his girlfriend dumping him right before he dropped out was his major tipping point. That's really what kind of pushed him off the edge, which I don't believe. And we're not going to victim blame this girl because she just dated him. One girlfriend his whole life. They dated a couple months. There wasn't really anything that happened between them. She did get interviewed by the FBI a lot, but from what I read, it was really nothing
exciting. So what we're looking at here is like legitimately a case of somebody who never had a girlfriend, then had one, and she dumped him. Well, I could see.
And then, yeah, his best friend, who's also a dude, tries to claim that this girl is the reason he went crazy. So
see, I don't.
Thanks, Zach.
I don't really think that you can actually say that and believe it.
But it's I can just, see that having a weird effect on him, because he's, like, technically an incel, probably. And then all of a sudden, he isn't, and then he's back to it, and then it's like, oh, shit, he's fucking insane.
Are you defending an incel right now?
No, I'm saying that's why he might have been like that, like, where his fucking train of thought was.
It really wasn't, because we'll get into it, but he was just right around the time frame that was just pitch perfect for everything to kind of link up and cause him to go crazy.
And how old was he, 19?
In 2006?
Yeah.
He was born in 88, so in 2006...
Math. 18 or 19, depending on when his birthday was.
I believe he was a senior when he dropped out.
Okay.
So he kind of dicked around. He had a couple low-level jobs. He worked at Quiznos, but his manager fired him because he had a quote-unquote personality change. He volunteered for Pima Animal Care Center, which we all know.
Yeah, it's basically like animal control in animal other control. States and things like that.
But they're pretty good these days.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're pretty great. But lots of animals. Go check them out. Get a puppy if you're in the Tucson area.
Get a puppy and get a kitten. Get whatever you want.
Get one of each. Get four of each. Take them home. Treat them right.
Right now they're doing free adoptions on pets that are 4 months and older.
I think they did. Yesterday they finished their microchipping, though.
They did, yeah.
They were doing free microchipping. Free microchipping. All around a good kind of a good place. It's a good place.
Yeah.
All right. So when Jerry was a volunteer, he was not a paid employee in any way, shape, or form, but when he was volunteering, they actually asked him to not ever come back. They said, please stop volunteering for us, because they had a quarantine area, I believe, for sick animals, and he was a dog walker, so he kept walking the dogs into the quarantine area. And his man, the head of staff or whatever at PAC, kept saying, hey, bud, we can't have dogs over there. Can you not do that? And he just fucking did it anyways. He had no clue what it meant to not do that.
You don't think it was an intentional thing where he wanted
to? Not at all, no. I think he just...
he actually liked the dogs? He wasn't trying to get some weird revenge on them or anything?
No, I think he honestly just didn't know what to do with his life, and he was trying to find something to give him purpose, and he just can't follow directions. He was an only child, so I don't think they did a lot of...
It's not much fun fucking
discipline.
Garbage.
Yeah, so he wasn't a very well-disciplined child, and he just doesn't know how to follow any sort of direction.
Yeah, I wonder if... I don't want to say all only children are like that, but there is definitely something about being an only child. I'd have to say that would be... seems strange to me, since I have a brother and a sister. And
so when you drop out of high school, you obviously have a lot of free time, and he used all of his free time to start doing drugs and drinking a lot. So he used a lot of salvia, because it's legal here in Arizona.
I think it
is. It?
It is.
I thought it was like...
Back in 2006, it was for sure legal.
Oh, yeah.
You could definitely just order it off the internet and get it shipped to you.
In 2006, everybody did salvia.
Yeah,
I think up until like 2008, people were still just fucking, you know, bonging up a bunch of salvia.
Yeah.
Weird and stupid for about 30 seconds.
He smoked a lot of weed. He did some LSD. He did some shrooms. He did pretty much anything and everything. So another thing...
Well, hang on. Are you blaming the drugs on this?
No, because
I know a ton of people that have done just mass quantities of drugs that turned out fine. Is this some issue or something?
No, I'm not saying that it had anything to do with the drugs.
Drugs are good, okay?
It's just there's a lot of people that like to say that he was in a drug-induced psychosis, and that's what caused everything, but it was not, at least to me personally and to his psychiatrist, it was not any way, shape, or form part of the drug use. It was just kind of, it led him into his delinquency and his later arrests.
I see. Okay, so I was just making it clear that it's not, you can't really say it's a drug's fault.
No, it was not. I mean, the salvia maybe a little tiny bit, because that stuff makes you...
I mean, the acid, too.
The salvia only makes you trip for like 5 minutes at a time, though.
Yeah, so yeah, but like, it kills all your brain cells.
And you're like, I'm about to shoot somebody.
I don't know about salvia.
No, this was way back.
A little options menu comes up. It's like, go home, take another hit.
Yeah.
You take another hit and shoot Gabby Giffords.
So,
I guess that's how it goes. I mean,
we're still in 06, 07 here. So in 07, he was arrested on a drug paraphernalia charge, and he attended diversion. I don't know if they have that everywhere. I think that might be in Arizona.
That's for if you have a bunch of shit to smoke drugs out of.
Yeah, no, I'm talking about diversion.
Oh, I thought you were talking about
paraphernalia. No, everybody knows what paraphernalia is. I'm talking about diversion programs.
Is the diversion program the one where you go to jail on the weekends?
No, diversion is when you're younger, when you're like 21 and under, if you get arrested on some sort of drug or drinking and driving charge, they'll generally give you diversion where you go to counseling. You usually attend some sort of drug abuse classes, and then they drop your charges off your record. So it's kind of
completely expunged records, like doing the points thing on your license where you go
exactly. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So they'll basically, if you're young and they don't want you to ruin your record for the rest of your life, they'll give you kind of a chance to make it right and divert you, obviously, from the name being diversion, away from doing crimes.
Awful nice of them, I'd say.
Yeah. So I don't know if that's a thing everywhere. People will have to tell me, because I think I've heard a lot of it here in Arizona, but I don't hear a lot of it in other states.
Yeah, I honestly can't think if I've heard of it coming from Utah or anything like that, but I do remember first-time drug offenders used to get, like go to drug court and do their shit through there, but it was mostly, like, pee tests and stuff like that, but I don't remember
if you're real good for 6 months, you're gone.
Yeah.
They probably just got rid of it in all the other states, because we're, like, one of the last states. So we're the last
state. Can you imagine how many, like, 17-year-olds would be walking around with life-changing felonies right now in this state?
Exactly.
So,
like, all those kids who were shooting each other?
Yeah, all those kids, kid-on-kid violence, like, 14-year-olds.
Two of them? Two 14, a 14- and 15-year-old? Yeah.
So, after he finished up with his diversion classes, he actually, he went before a judge to have it expunged from his records, which, as I said before, intending diversion drops it off your record completely. So, we can only assume that he goes in front of this judge so he's not restricted from any gun purchases later on, because he wants it completely just taken off. Nobody knows about it ever.
This is
judge
America.
Approved it. The judge did a lot of interviews with the FBI, and he was like, yeah, I don't remember this kid. So he obviously wasn't that exciting at this point in time. A little crazy. Not super crazy, though.
Yeah, I hadn't lost his mind. And
well, plus he probably was just saying what he needed to get his rights back. He'd probably say anything, you know?
That's true. No,
yeah,
just,
he just wants a gun, which he got.
At this point, do we have any, like, possible undiagnosed mental illnesses just developing over the next few years?
Or? Yeah, so he's 19 during when he's getting his records expunged. He's getting really erratic, his behavior, and we can assume that his psychotic break occurred somewhere between his 2006 dropout and his 2007 arrest, because I don't know if you guys know this, but generally schizophrenia or any sort of delusion disorders will come out when you're between the ages of 18 and 24. Men being younger, generally women hit around 22 to 24. Men are usually 18, 19 is when they have their first psychotic like outbreak. So I don't know if you guys have ever seen a psychotic break happen, but basically you are totally normal one day and the next day you're absolutely losing your shit. So that's what happened to him. I mean, he didn't have an absolute just break in his personality, but he got weirder and weirder as the days went, and crazier until he just hit a peak, and shit went down.
And so,
and what shit was that?
We'll get into that. But in 2010, he was 24. He joins a program offered by Pima Community College, which is a local college in Tucson.
Which is where I went to school after I got
out. We all went to school there.
We all went to school there.
Because we're too cheap to go to the U of A.
Yeah. You want to save yourself 10 grand, head down to
a
Pima.
Year.
Yeah. Pima is pretty good. Yeah. But so he
currently
starts...
accredited.
They always fight that. But...
Yeah. They get a lot of shit about that. But we'll still go there. We'll give you money, Pima.
We'll get educated.
Still
and then
learn
you
how
can,
to do stuff. Though.
As soon as we graduate, go ahead and lose whatever.
Yep. So they apparently offer a program that you can take college classes if you have not graduated. So I think they do like a GED and then you start your intro, like your lowest level, like your math 89, which is really fucking low. Basically, you're not even a freshman.
I might have some insight on this.
Elementary pre-algebra.
Which is exactly what he took, actually, was pretty much elementary algebra, which is the easiest course they offer. So
easiest math course.
Easiest math course, yeah. I think their dance and their fucking yoga classes are pretty easy, too.
I don't know, man. You gotta stretch your shit out for yoga. Dance, though. Anybody can dance.
My psychology teacher also taught the fucking yoga class, and she was pretty weird.
Was she a nice lady?
She was probably, like, 60, so, yeah, she was super nice. whichever direction that was headed. Yep. We're not going to go down it.
Okay.
So there's a lot of people that came forward to the FBI after he committed his shooting that said he was weird as fuck, and he absolutely scared the shit out of them. So he would walk into class, into his algebra classes. He took an ASL class, too. He would walk into class. He would start writing on the whiteboard before the teacher got into the room. He would sit in the back of the room and talk to himself.
Do we know what he would say to himself or what he actually wrote on those
boards?
We
don't know. Nobody remembers, but he would just sit and talk to himself the entire class. He would argue with the teachers because they didn't give him an A, and he said, well, I paid for this, so I'm paying for an A grade.
Paid for public school?
Paid for Pima, yep.
Oh, right, we're on to Pima now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so he feels like he paid for his education, and that's the only reason he was there. I bet this dude is, like, kind of how I imagine, like, the origin story for, like, the Riddler is starting. Like, you can kind of see that this dude's just crazy. And he's really not all that insane. He just, like, does puzzles in his brain all day. So he's drawing little, like, Rebus drawings or whatever.
So what you're saying
board.
Is he's going to escape from wherever he is
oh,
at.
Oh, yeah, he's definitely going to go. It's definitely going to happen.
There is a lot of students and teachers that actually went to campus police and told them that they were really worried about his behavior because they thought he was going to shoot up the school. And everyone was like, okay.
Well, he didn't shoot up the school, dumbasses.
They were close, though.
they were real close.
That was pretty spot on. I know how this story ends, well, so.
Yeah,
I guess
that's just more like a nod to the end right there.
A Safeway, which for everybody listening is a grocery store.
Wigglies.
Yeah, if you don't have a Safeway, it's a grocery store.
Super expensive.
It's fairly expensive.
Isn't it a Kroger associated grocery store?
No, Kroger's,
no
fries.
Kroger's fries.
Kroger.
We don't need to get into that.
Anyways,
Safeway?
It was
Safeway's
a Safeway.
Just Safeway.
Okay. But where are they elsewhere?
Albertsons. Yeah, okay. They are now mm-hmm. paired
they
with
bought
Albertsons.
Out Albertsons.
They okay, bought them out. So mm-hmm. Played Monopoly together.
Most places have Albertsons. That's what it is. It's an Albertsons. Only
okay.
called Safeway. Yeah, that makes sense.
All right.
What were you going to say about the Safeway shit?
I don't know. You ruined my train of thought.
So he
Sorry
went.
I was just trying to explain to people what a Safeway was and explain that he shot up a grocery store, not a school. That's what that was.
Oh, okay. Oh. All right. So he.
An unsafe way.
This was redacted in the FBI files that I read through, but he approached someone that we can assume was the cafeteria manager, and he told him he should hire more races because he has too many white employees.
Who
so
told him that?
So he was.
Jared told the cafeteria manager that he needed to hire more races because the cafeteria manager's employees were all too white.
I mean, that's all right. Hire some more races.
I mean, yeah, you can do that, but imagine.
Yeah, but they're not applying, or he would hire them. Nobody wants to work at the college.
Everybody wants to work at the college.
That's not true.
Government job gets paid pretty well.
It's no, good, they it's don't even pay you. They pay for your tuition, so you're not actually making money.
So you're
money.
Kind of getting a free education out of work. It's a
they
work
don't pay for... you enough to cover your entire tuition.
Oh, so it's like a work for brain.
Mm-hmm.
Mm, interesting.
He posted a bunch of rambling YouTube videos, one of them which was actually about Pima, and he said that the college was illegal and, quote, one of the biggest scams in America because they were committing fraud. Probably for not giving him A's because he wasn't doing any of his work.
Well, see here, that's fraudulent now.
He's just ultra concerned that I gave you money, give me my grade.
Yeah, like, basically.
And I think I did watch one of those little like scrolling.
Yeah,
text
we watched it
YouTube
the other
videos,
night. You can find them on YouTube.
Oh
you
man, they're
see
so
all of
rambling
his...
and they make absolutely no sense.
No sense. Yeah.
Some people would say that about you, Rory.
So he's also sitting in the library watching YouTube videos about I don't know what, but he sits in the library and he just yells at the computers.
Can we take a guess at what he's probably watching? Jake, you get to go first.
Big butts and he cannot lie. He likes them.
Sir Mix-a-Lot remixes of girls just twerking in front of him.
Twerk.
Twerking was not a thing back in 2010, was
twerking's
it?
Twerking's been a thing. It wasn't
I guess,
called
well,
twerking.
Maybe they were crumping.
Oh, okay.
Crumping was
what
back
the
then.
Fuck? I don't even know what that is.
Taking it back to the 90s.
They were pop, locking, dropping.
No, crumping was straight 2000 where the dudes dressed up like clowns and they twitched the bodies.
Yeah, I guess that's probably true. I do remember
that. Was
that.
Probably what was
Are
up.
You a Juggalo now?
I mean, not really.
I think the Juggalos dance like that.
I don't think that was a Juggalo thing. I think it was
if
more
it's
of
got
a,
clowns, it's...
No, it was more of like a weird urban thing that I'm not really like entitled to speak on because I have whoop, no whoop. Idea what it's really about. But I know it's not Juggalos because that is something different. But anyway, I forgot where I was going with that. But Yeah, he was probably watching Sir Mix-a-Lot crumping videos or something like that.
For sure.
Probably yep. Mixes. Okay,
that had
so
to have been it. That's what he was yelling.
What do you think
yelling
it was, Rory?
Me? Personally, I think it was probably girls in bikinis cleaning rifles. You know,
that is a really good guess, Rory.
Camouflage bikinis.
Did he need to look that up? Because he also had calendars on the wall with that, I guarantee it.
Oh, yeah, he's
yeah,
his
but
wall you, probably
your calendars don't move like videos, do
yeah,
they?
I mean, imagine they
might. Just that's probably true.
That's why he took acid to just make the titties bounce on his calendars. He's like, woo-hoo-hoo!
All right.
But, okay, so let titties. Us know if what who you think is correct, Jake or myself. Jake, once again, thinks it's...
I think
Sir
we could figure out a
lot,
way to put up a poll.
Yeah, Sir Mix-a-Lot remix videos of girls crumping and shaking their booties. And I honestly think it's just big-breasted women cleaning firearms.
Rory's probably right, but they could both be correct.
Yeah, they both sound correct.
So whatever he's watching, whether it be Sir Mix-a-Lot or girls cleaning rifles, he has been contacted by the campus police 5 times. And they call his parents, Pima does, and they tell him that he's not allowed to come back. They suspend his enrollment completely. They tell him and Amy and Randy that...
Excuse me, Randy, your grown-ass son, I'm calling you to let you know that he can't come back to college, not school, college. He may not come back. Please restrain him.
We know you paid for it, but we're just going to go ahead and keep that. You know, your
keep
son,
paying
he's...
us.
He's a bit of a shit, so we're sending him home.
Or we will give him back his money so he doesn't shoot up this fucking school.
Yeah.
Yeah, did he end up getting his money back, or did they just kick his ass out?
Nobody knows. Well, they suspended his enrollment. So basically, they told him, don't come back. They told him he has to have some sort of mental health clearance, so he needs to go see a psychiatrist. And the psychiatrist needs to deem him sane before, and they have to take that to Pima.
So did he do this? Or
no,
did
he,
just
he
go
dropped
on
out of college, too.
Do you know which campus he went to?
I don't know.
Probably downtown.
I'm feeling downtown.
Or Northwest.
No, he went to Northwest because that's out in Marana, I'm
yeah,
sure.
Northwest.
Oh, yeah. But, it's right by Mountain View High School.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's not around anymore, though. They closed that, didn't they?
No, Northwest campus is still out there. I took a class out there.
Interesting.
I went to classes out there in 2000.
This
Shannon or whatever? Yeah, it doesn't matter. But so at this time, hey, is this when he starts his YouTube rantings, or is this while he's at...
This is all while he's doing.
Okay.
So he's posting his YouTube videos, and then... Because he posts one, and then he posts one about Pima, and then he continues. He posts 3 more, I think, something like that. But my biggest problem with this is that it's law in Arizona that you actually... If you notice a student, even if you're in college campus police have to basically provide health or call the cops and have people put into mental hospitals if they notice behavior like this. So it's illegal what Pima did, because Pima contacted his parents and told him he can't come back, he needs mental health clearance, which they should have
Aztecs
provided the
die.
Mental health clearance for him.
So now, was this a law made after, or
no,
was this during...
No, this has been along for a very round a long time. You can also look at the Virginia Tech shooting and Cho.
Is that
which
a similar
is the same exact thing, yeah. He should have been provided some sort of mental health help.
Well, it's crazy. Campus police are actually on top of it now.
Mm-hmm.
On Wednesday, last day I had class, there was a lady without shoes on. I came walking in, and she was laying in the sun with her head on one of those light posts.
Mm-hmm.
And I went in, and I told my teacher, and he said, the only thing I can do is call over to campus police. I'm like, you probably should, because I kind of hollered at her to see if she was okay, and she didn't say anything back. She had no shoes on, dirty, had a KFC bucket, and was leaning her head, like, completely, almost completely passed out with her head on.
Was there chicken in the bucket?
I didn't check, but I was kind of hungry,
I
so. But, so
maybe
she
was in a food coma. She had the meat sweats.
She had the meat sweats.
She's trying to sunbathe it out.
So I told him that, and we both went out there to check if she was still there, and she was still there as the...
As the police walked up?
Well, they weren't walking up. They were pulling up in their SUV that they drive around in.
Mm-hmm.
And we were just like, okay, we can go back to making chips. And it was kind of fun. But that did
happen.
You should
have gone up there, though, and seen if there was meat in that bucket.
Yeah, see what the meat
yeah,
was
campus
in there.
Police
yeah.
will fuck
she,
you
she's
up.
She's not using
yeah.
it. She's probably going to jail. Someone's got to eat
no,
that chicken.
No, when I left, I came over here afterwards, and she was at that hobo park across the street. Pima is a nice place, but...
There's a hobo park.
There is a hobo park across the street.
If you live in Tucson, you know exactly which one we're talking about.
Indeed.
So back when I lived over on the way east side, kind of towards Vail, I actually saw U of A campus police arresting a bunch of teenagers. And this is U of A campus police, which is way the fuck on the other side of town. And they drove all the way over to the east side to arrest some fucking shit college kids that were doing who knows what, probably smoking weed.
Well, they're obviously real police officers, mm-hmm. but do they have authority over Tucson, or is it just only on campus?
I think if you're driving by the U of A campus, they can pull you over. I don't think it matters. I think they're basically TPD, just in different cars.
Okay.
I have personally only been paper arrested by U of A police, and it went fine.
Because they were nice,
it was on U of A campus, so.
Yeah, they probably have a lot of kids that they're writing tickets for, so they probably are just like, paper arrest him, it's not that important.
Yeah, we can get, you know, an extra $1,100 out of his parents.
Yeah.
It was only $350.
What was it for?
I think it was drunk, in public, whatever they call that.
In public intoxication? On campus?
Yeah, but I think it was
didn't even go there.
They just fucking wrote me this ticket and had me call a ride.
Yeah, I'm sure that happens all the time, so they don't even fucking bother with you anymore. Yeah, they're
just like, we'll get your money and you can
everyone
just fuck
is
right
drunk
off.
At U of A. That's such a party school. Not as bad as ASU, though. Fuck
still,
ASU.
Come to Tucson and get an education. The city relies on you literally spending ridiculous amounts of money on...
this is true.
A debtable...
They have Chiba Hut.
They do have Chiba Hut. Chiba
Hut. Probably shouldn't get off on too much of a tangent of why people should come to Tucson, but Chiba Hut and EG's are bomb as fuck.
Yeah, true. This is also true.
So... another big problem I have is that campus police called Amy and Randy and they told them outright that he is a danger to himself and others and they need to remove any firearms that they have in the home. So campus police are number one, not having this kid arrested and being institutionalized, which is illegal in the first place. And two, they know he's a danger to himself and others and they do jack shit about it. So we can kind of place a little bit of the blame on them. No offense, Pima. Please keep taking my money. And they're like, I'm sorry, we are suspending your enrollment.
And we're not really looking to place blame on anyone. I mean, the kid's obviously the person that, you know.
Exactly, but there was
the buildup of things that went wrong in this whole situation and that could have been avoidable.
When you're in the state of mind that Jared Lee Loeffner was and you are in the throes of delusional schizophrenia, you really have to count on other people to kind of take some responsibility for you. Mental health is your responsibility, but you
but that's
don't
more
know
than
that.
Even schizophrenia, carrying something out like that is more than it's like
you know, we're not excusing him for his shooting, for his mass shooting, but
or we're not even looking to place like real blame anywhere. It's just a bunch
it's
of
just
sad
people,
instances that happen.
Some
like,
people fucked up and
yeah, you dropped the ball
different
a little
people
bit
paid
and,
for it
yeah.
and it shouldn't have happened. And so if we can kind of bring awareness to anybody that might see symptoms like this and see psychotic breaks and be able to step in and offer somebody the help that they need and prevent something like this, then I'm all for it.
Yeah,
that's what the point of this really is.
See something, say something. I know that's like a snitch thing for, you know, illegal
snitches
stuff happening.
Stitches roar.
Yeah, but if somebody is
in
the throes of mental illness, you need to be the person
kidding,
that steps up that's... and really gives them.
Don't Jesus me.
No, it's
I
just
mean,
that's...
crucify.
So,
we digress.
Amy and Randy, they get rid of their shotgun that they had in the house and they start drug testing Jared. And they also disable his vehicle at dusk so he isn't able to leave the house.
Hence why this shooting happened in the middle of the day.
Yeah, so they at least made a certain
attempt. No, but they really didn't. They apparently claimed that they
Katie
begged him to go get help.
Them, so
yeah,
we know it's coming.
I mean, okay, I blame these people a lot for the... I mean, not the shooting itself, but the buildup to the shooting and not providing help, once again, is on your parents. I mean, your parents are there to help you, especially if you're living at home.
Yeah,
I mean, your parents see you every day. They've seen you every day since you were a child. Like, they need to know. They know something's wrong. They're begging you to get help, and you won't get help. So they need to step in and make you get help if they know you need it.
I mean, it's really hard to make someone do something like
It's really
that,
not.
Though.
You can easily institutionalize someone against their will.
At least for, like, a few days.
So it shouldn't be that hard to just call the police and say, I think he's a danger. I need him to go somewhere and get him help because he won't go get it himself,
which is exactly how it goes.
Okay, well, You learn something new every day about mental health, and you should learn something new every day about mental health. It's important that you
At least if the cops come out and they recognize that that person is acting in a way that's dangerous to them or
They would have with him, too. They would have easily seen it.
You know, it's pretty easy to see when someone's telling you, don't let them have guns, I think. Like,
yeah.
Because in this state, in Arizona, you have to be basically drooling, like a drooling crazy person not to get a gun. It's fairly simple to get a gun here.
You might even still be able to.
Yeah.
I think they'll sell a gun to anybody. I've seen a
few that have them, but yeah, so it's fairly easy to get guns here, but usually responsible ownership prevents this from happening. And
you can snag you a burner for like $200.
Yeah, go down on the south side and pick you up a burner. All right.
That should be cut.
Yeah,
that's got to be cut. That was...
No, that was fine. End point, basically, if you're in the throes of schizophrenia, you are not going to realize that you need to go see a doctor because you have a lot of people that are not real telling you the exact opposite of that.
Generally, it's like the backside of the disease, I guess, if you will, when they realize it, right? That they are going to have... Because I know there's like people who do commercials for schizophrenia medicine where they talk about having to take their medicine so they don't go cuckoo.
It's basically a lot of people having to tell you that you need to go see a doctor or go get help before you finally realize. I mean, and it depends on the type of schizophrenia. There's obviously lots of different types. So you can be schizoaffective, which is basically you're schizophrenic, but you're also bipolar. So if you're schizoaffective in a manic episode, you're going to have no clue what you're doing. You're spending all your money. You're being really erratic. And then if you're having a depressive episode, you're going to be like, oh, my God. What the fuck am I doing with my life? Everything's going wrong. So you can institutionalize yourself in a depressive episode as a schizoaffective, but then as soon as you hit a manic episode, everything's fine. You're on the top of the fucking world. Nothing is wrong with you, and you don't need to see a doctor ever again. And then you sign yourself out, and you go back, and it's just a whole process, which Jared was not a schizoaffective. He was... diagnosed with schizophrenia, but it was differential schizophrenia, so which is kind of on the border. So he was delusional, but they really didn't see him long enough to give him a full diagnosis.
I see.
Yeah, because it takes years for the doctors to figure out exactly mm-hmm. what's going on and adjust the meds, right?
Schizophrenia is probably the hardest disease, mental health disease, to study. There's really not a lot that we know about it, and they're really not that open to talking about it.
Yeah, that makes sense, too. I mean, you can imagine someone that you someone else has told you is not okay or is scary or that you should, you know.
And it's also terrifying to be seeing things.
Yeah.
If you're a delusional schizophrenic and you are seeing things and you're pointing it out to people, and there's so many times that you're like, do you see that? And they say no.
Or hearing, right?
Or hearing, yeah. You hear voices, you see, it scares the shit out of you. You've got people talking to you that aren't there. You're seeing things. I mean, it's terrifying, and it's not something that you're going to want to open up about to anybody, including a doctor, that okay. you don't know and you've never met and you've never spoken to.
So, but Loeffner in this period did not actually go see any psychiatrist?
He saw nobody. His parents begged him. College begged him. Basically, everybody that knew him begged him, and he's not going to go do it. He didn't go do it, obviously. We'll get into his treatment later, but that's not till after his arrest.
Okay, so what year are we at right now? So
right now we're in 2010. So we're a year before the shooting.
We're getting close.
We're getting close.
Now is the build-up time period where he's building up to do this act, or is it just something, you know?
Yeah, we're kind of building up. There's some prep that he goes into it. He applies for the Army, and so he goes up to Phoenix, and he...
Why didn't he get into the Army?
Because he literally sat down, and he was like, hey, I smoke a bunch of weed. And they were like, go home. We're not going to let you in the Army. And then sure, he got super sure. pissed because they didn't let him in the Army. But he straight up, like, I'm pretty sure the recruiter said that was exactly what happened. He was like, I smoked tons of weed. And then you know what happened? He dropped clean.
So if he hadn't said anything, he would have.
He would have gotten in the Army.
So he didn't really want to go into the Army.
I mean, he was super about it. He was very, he wasn't like right wing. He wasn't liberal. He just wanted to shoot guns.
What if though that was just to get his parents off his back to do something with his life. Oh, yeah, I'll get in. Yeah,
I don't think his parents...
So then he sits down with the recruiter and he says, but the thing is, he didn't smoke a lot of weed,
he didn't
bro.
Have manic. He didn't have depressive episodes. No. He was not a schizoaffective. He had no signs of bipolar disorder. He just...
I don't think that changes what I said.
He heard stuff. But I don't think his parents were also on his back about anything. They let him live at home. He was literally 24 at this point. He got kicked out of college. Yeah, so he gets kicked out of college. He gets fired from his job at Quiznos. he gets kicked out of volunteering for an animal shelter. And I don't think his parents had any bother in the world with any of that. They're his first kid. You know, he's an only child. They love him for whatever he does, even though everyone's like, get the guns out of the house. And they're like, what do you mean? He's fine, guys.
He's not going to kill us.
So, I mean, is that just because it's hard to see, like, evil in people? Like, if it's your own kid, you don't want to see those things, so you kind of just shut it off.
He's not. I wouldn't consider him evil at this point. But if you know, his mom starts physically, like, she literally drug tests him because she's like, he's got to be on meth. He talks to himself all the time. He's got to be doing meth. And she drug tests him all the time, and he's always clean. He never drops dirty. So at that point, you know, if you're sitting there and you're like, okay, well, this person has to be on meth because of the way they're acting, and then you drop them, they're not doing meth, that's when you should be like, something else is wrong.
Right.
Like, we need to go a different direction. You're obviously not doing drugs.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, the next step would be 100% to take them to a doctor. Exactly. It doesn't matter what doctor it is. Get them somewhere that they can
this is your child. At this point, yeah, right? He was over 18, but this is your child.
So it is a little more of a process.
If I was acting crazy and my mom came up to me and she was like, go to the doctor, I'd be like, okay.
Well, I mean, it's hard to really say what you would do when you're feeling a little loco, you know?
Yeah. So, but I mean, his parents, they had options as his parents, as his legal guardians, they had options of what to do to treat him, and drug testing him and making sure he didn't drive past dusk was not something that really helped the whole situation here, I don't think.
Okay. Well, I get that. So we're at college. We're done with college.
He's done with
kicked
college.
Out of college. He's still at his parents' house. It's 2010. His parents have been told that they need to get the guns out of the house. He's gone a little crazy. He does a little bit of upsetting things that people have noticed in school. So he's on track right now to be what he became.
Killing somebody. Yeah.
Okay. So
yeah, I mean, people have told his parents, people probably have told him, like, haha, I'm surprised you haven't shot up the school yet. Trying to be funny, it's not funny.
Well, I know everyone had that one kid in high school or whatever that you thought, this is going to be the kid that shoots up the high school. This is going to be the kid that hurts someone. This is the kid we're going to see on the news.
Exactly. Yeah. So I'm sure there's been plenty of people that have pointed out his behavior to him, but he's still just doing his own thing, going his own way.
Yeah, trying to do it all himself. And I mean, if you see something, like we said against, if you see something, say something. But really, honestly, just if someone looks like they need help, even just asking them if they need help may open up a very strange world for you, but it may help them to the point where something bad doesn't happen.
Or maybe just go, don't make fun of them.
Yeah,
you're going to make fun of them instead.
But nobody
just
made
don't.
Fun of Jared. Well, absolutely nobody.
I make fun of him now.
Well, now, but he's on meds now. He's not. He's sane, unfortunately,
it
now.
It would suck so much to be sane after you did something when you were insane that you can't take back.
Yeah.
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 But, you know, I mean, I don't mean to be so harsh on his parents and Pima, but...
So, like, yeah, there
this is stuff
there...
that is very easily preventable if you just know the warning signs of... Even the bare minimum warning signs... You spend this much time with somebody, you got to do something about it.
Yeah, lots of mistakes. Like it's unfortunate. Like, they are all unfortunate. They didn't obviously go out of their way to ignore him or anything. They just sort of slid it off as someone else's problem, or, you know, he
pretended like it wasn't happening,
or pretended like it wasn't as big of a deal as it was.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's not like they're all to blame, but there are a lot of missed opportunities here that they had a chance to.
Essentially, it could have been prevented.
Yeah,
if someone
exactly.
had
this
just
is a prevent.
Fucking been like, hey, he's having some issues.
Yeah, mental illness attacks.
Let's see if we can help him.
Are preventable. Mental illness is a thing.
100%. And if you were, I mean, if you can compare it, if someone's absolutely insane to the point that they don't know what they're doing, you can kind of compare it to like a coma patient that doesn't know what they're doing. They're not awake. You have to be the one that takes care of them. Someone's having a seizure.
Yeah.
They're not going to know how to stop it. You're going to have to be the one that steps in to help them. So if you see somebody that's struggling and obviously has no fucking clue what they're doing and is a danger to himself or to other people, you got to step in and be the person that prevents something like this.
And sometimes they won't appreciate it or anything like that. That's the thing, is that there is a fine line where, you know, they're hearing someone argue with them and that's not happening and it's affecting everything around them. So, and then they get into a situation where they think people are looking at them or whatever. But, you know, if you can talk to them, talk to them. If you can't, you know,
I mean, some of these people are literally just trying to get ahead.
Yeah, they're just trying to do. They're just trying to do something. So don't take it that, you know, we don't like this guy.
Do not be scared to get the police involved if you need the police. They are there to help you. They're there to help the person that is in trouble. So we're going to fast forward to November 30th, 2010, when Jared goes to a Sportsman Warehouse and buys a 9mm semi-automatic Glock. And nobody really knew, except for Jared himself, that he had a big fucking problem with Congresswoman Gabrielle Giffords. In 2007, he actually went to an event that was kind of similar to the Congress on Your Corner that the shooting occurred at. And he asked her a question. We don't know what the question was. We don't know what she said to him. But basically, he asked her a question, and he does not like what answer she gives him.
That's kind of a, like, a small thing to shoot someone or be upset about someone over.
Yeah. We don't know what the question was?
No, we have no idea. He doesn't know. I doubt she knows. So we really don't know. But he, I mean, the FBI kept it. They have everything. They obviously did a search warrant on his house after he was arrested, and they found everything. But everything I read in the FBI files was insanely redacted, so there's a lot of information that I'm missing that would be really beneficial from them, but we're never going
to
get it.
Hey, listen here. We're trying to run a podcast here. You fuckers need to give us this.
So, yeah, to anybody FBI out there listening,
when I go and work for the FBI, I'll give it for all of us.
The information.
Well, now that you said it, they'll never let you work in the FBI.
So what the FBI has, he kept this little box with a little like letter or like a flyer from the event that he went to. And he had a little envelope with a little note that said, "Die, bitch," and assassination plans have been made.
I hope you die. Die, Gabby, die.
So he referred to her as fake all the time. He had a huge grudge. We don't know over what, but mostly because she was a woman.
That be a grudge or a chip on your shoulder?
I think it's a little of both. The chip on the shoulder kind of works its way into a grudge.
Yeah, and he's got chip, the grudge because like she didn't answer his question right. She just didn't say the right thing, and it made him mad.
Okay.
All right. So,
well, I've been there.
So he went and bought a gun.
He went and bought a gun. Handgun. 9mm semi-automatic Glock.
Okay.
So he's a Glock boy.
30-round chamber. Not chamber. 30-round magazines. I don't know anything about guns. So let's just throw that out there to start.
30 rounds.
I don't even think anyone should be allowed to have 30 rounds in one gun.
That's too many rounds.
This is Arizona, okay?
This is Arizona. You can literally have as many guns as you want, as many bullets as you want.
All the guns.
All of them. Just shoot first, ask questions later.
Mm-hmm. Just like Florida.
Just like Jared Loughner.
Oh.
So,
anyways.
So this was in 2011, November 30th. So we're going to go to January 8th now, which is the day of the attack. So at 4 a.m., he wakes up and he gets on his
moped.
MySpace.
Oh.
You were close. They're both pretty lame. But he gets on his MySpace. Well, okay, so let's go back a little bit. I don't know when exactly this happened, but apparently he went to a Walgreens and he had a bunch of pictures printed. And these are the pictures that he somehow posts to MySpace, so I guess he went to Walgreens and printed some pictures that he took with a digital camera, and then he, like, scans them to his computer.
Well, this was, like, 2011.
Yeah, that, I mean, most places, like, if you wanted to go print out a picture, you'd take your USB card.
Yeah, you could get a USB card by then.
To print them out. I've done this fairly recently, in, like, the past 6 years, even. So you just take your USB card in there, you print them out at their little machine, and then you can put them on your computer.
40-year-old woman, or
you can't just put your USB into the computer.
You can, and then
there's converters,
but you don't print them out on actual picture paper. Like that's what he was probably looking for, was like the actual, like glossy, semi-gloss paper.
But if you didn't want it, the glossy. What if you wanted the one where you can see all the little teeny tiny lines, and it's kind of rough when you run your hand over it, and it's like fancy.
They don't turn them into paintings, Jake. I'm sorry.
That's not what this is. That's not what this is.
So I just Let's focus on the real major issue with this.
Okay, so he shot her in the head.
He's at the Walgreens right now. So he's at the Walgreens getting pictures printed out.
The major issue I have here is that it's 2011 and he's posting on MySpace.
Okay.
Like, everybody had Facebook, all right? It's 2011. Everyone's got Facebook. No one uses MySpace anymore.
I get that he's a piece of shit, but I think he might be nitpicking a little bit.
Are you saying that because you had a MySpace in 2011?
No, that's not the case.
I still have a MySpace, I think.
I can't find mine. I've tried.
I just actually found yours and sent Katie some pictures from it.
What?
No, you didn't.
Yes, I did. Send you a picture of Jake in his sweet fedora or something.
There was a fedora and a bass in a coffee shop.
That was not me. Yeah. You got to send those to me, though.
I literally sent it to you, and you're like, oh, Jake was so cute. It literally happened.
All right, well, I'll have to look through that and see if I remember.
Anyway.
All right, so the real issue that we're having here is...
It's MySpace. It's 4 a.m., and he's on MySpace.
Oh, right, you have a dumb real issue.
It's 4 a.m., you're on MySpace. It's 2011.
Number one, you should be asleep. No, I'm just
kidding. There are incels that still use MySpace, probably.
Probably. No, they're on all...
I heard it was...
They're on incel.co now. Yeah, they use it. Because they got kicked off Reddit.
I really did hear it was making a comeback. Facebook bought it, I think.
I don't think that's correct. There's no comeback for MySpace. MySpace is over.
It's over.
Done technology.
Listen here.
I am.
If I want to have a top 10 again, or a top 3,
it was a top 8, bitch. You didn't even know what was up. It started out as a top 8.
Yeah, but you could adjust it to whatever you wanted.
Who's in Jared Lochner's top 8?
You could literally... not Gabby Giffords.
So he's got his pictures that he printed out of Walgreens and then scanned back onto his computer. And one of the pictures, or not one of the picture he posts is a picture of his Glock on top of a United States history book, which looked like a textbook to me. It looked like he probably just never returned it when he dropped out of high school.
He could read?
Supposedly.
I mean, yeah, he's reading all the history, so he learns why women shouldn't be in Congress.
Right. That was wrong of me to accuse him of being illiterate.
Yeah, you shouldn't accuse people of being illiterate.
I mean, he can type, so he leaves a really long goodbye.
Slowly.
And he ends his post with, P.S. I plead the fifth, and this will be relevant later, so keep that in mind. And at around 7 a.m., he goes to Walmart. I'm not sure which Walmart it was, but it doesn't really matter. He goes to two Walmarts.
More than likely, the one on the north side.
Yeah, so he goes to this Walmart, and he walks in, and he tries to buy ammo. And the clerk was like, nah, this is not happening. So in his head, he said in the FBI files, he looked at the guy, and he was like, I'm not selling you ammo. So the clerk denies the sale. He looks around. He's like, no, I don't have any 9mm. I'm sorry. So Jared leaves. He goes to a Walmart Supercenter on North Cortero.
Oh, that's the one over in the little shopping mall area. Cortero. Yeah, that's the one out there.
Okay. Yeah. So he gets his ammo and a black diaper bag, one of the backpack style ones. And around 7:30 in...
X-Tough-X.
He leaves for home. So he's heading home, driving down... I don't know, probably Cortero. But anyways, I don't know where he lived. But he is driving down towards his house, and he gets pulled over by an Arizona Game and Fish officer, which I didn't know they could pull people over.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they can. I'm not really up on who and who cannot pull you over as far as why they pulled him over.
So
just keep going. Why did they pull him over?
So he ran a red light. So there's actually a couple people that the people he almost hit, number one, identified him. And they're like, that guy almost ran us over when he ran a red light and we were trying to make a left. So he gets pulled over. The guy checks his ID, does everything, and he doesn't have any active warrants, so he lets him go.
So wait, he bought this gun on the same day he had the
He bought the ammo. He bought the gun on November 30th.
Yeah. So
a couple months before.
Okay. So he's leaving Walmart. He runs a red light, almost hits some people. He's pulled over by...
Game and Fish?
Game and Fish, okay.
Maybe just because he was the only guy in the area. Yeah, saw him run
maybe,
a red light.
Yeah, so yeah, but he doesn't have no active warrants, and then someone pulls up and tells the Game and Fish warden that there's a dead dog up on the road, and she wants him to take care of it. So he's like, fuck this. Fuck both of you. I'm leaving. But he says that he doesn't see any sort of diaper bag, any sort of ammo. He sees no guns, but he's also like, it may have been on the floorboard. I don't know. I didn't really look that hard because he looked totally normal. He wasn't acting weird. He wasn't nervous. He was perfectly fine.
Interesting. So, and this is him the day of. He got pulled over the day of. Wow, missed opportunities.
Exactly.
So where did he go from there?
So he goes home, and he gets home, and his dad comes out, and they get in a big argument. His dad tries to keep him from leaving.
Do you know what they argued about?
No, nobody knows what they argued about. I doubt his dad would say, because it was probably some stupid bullshit he was yelling at his kid about for nothing.
Box of pocket pussies he found.
Yeah, something like that.
Full of ammunition.
Yeah. We're gonna
say
that.
Why did you put this ammo in my pocket pussies?
So He takes off. He literally just runs. He runs away. He's like, fuck you, Dad. If I can't take the car, I'm going to run. So he makes it to a Circle K where he calls a cab and asks to be taken to the Safeway.
Okay.
There are two Circle Ks close to Mountain View. I wonder which one it was.
Interesting.
We will never know.
So he's on his way. And at this time, Gabrielle Giffords is just arriving at the Safeway. She's mm-hmm. there for a speech or what's going on there?
So they're doing a Congress on Your Corner event, which is basically like meet your local congressman. So this is not the first time she's ever done this. They do this all the time. Apparently on the rich side of town, you can meet your congresspeople. But she was also a lot about going out and getting people involved in politics. So she did Congress on Your Corner at the local Safeway. That's, you know, the best place to do it. If people are walking out, they can come meet her. And she just wants people to be involved and know what's going on. And she's very open about what she's fighting for in Congress.
Okay. So she's there. So they're setting up like a podium for her. What's going on? What's
No, it's just a little table. Okay, honestly, just a little table by the entrance. But Jared makes it home and books it, runs to the Circle K around 9:40.
You're saying she was set up like Girl Scouts outside of Safeway?
Basically, yeah.
Okay. How big is the crowd there for one of these things?
It was relatively large. Yeah. Large, yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. So roughly 10 a.m., Jared and his cab driver go inside the Safeway because he needs to get the cab driver's fare because he just ran out with his diaper bag and that was it. So he needs money. So they go inside the Safeway together, and then this is around 10 a.m. Gabby Giffords got there around 10 a.m. to start setting up. Event was supposed to start around 10 a.m. So everything's kind of going on. So we have surveillance footage of Jared walking around the Safeway, and you can see there's one video they released where he's talking to the cashier, but he's only using sign language. And it's just gibberish.
Okay.
So he's making up hand gestures to convey what he wants.
No, he took a basic level ASL course at Pima when he was attending.
But he still doesn't really have a fucking clue what he's doing.
He doesn't know. He knows the alphabet. He says thank you, which is a pretty simple one. I think everyone knows how to say thank you in ASL. And he spells out love. And nothing that made any sense. And he spells out love, too, which is the weird part, because he spells it out, but there's just a regular-ass sign that you can use for love. Like, you don't have to spell it.
Yeah, so interesting. So right now he's inside the Safeway.
He's inside the Safeway. He buys a bottle of water.
He buys a bottle of water.
Now got his diaper bag.
Now, he told the guy he wanted to go to this Safeway mm-hmm. specifically because Gabrielle Giffords was there. It's not some weird, like, stars aligned coincidence where she just happened to show up.
He knew she was gonna be there. He planned this out. Obviously, he posted on Facebook or on Facebook. Let's take it back. He posts on MySpace and he says, you know, I'm gonna do this. This is my plan. He's been planning this assassination quietly for quite a while. So it's not a coincidence. I mean, the cab driver doesn't know. He's not like, take me to the exact Safeway that Gabby Giffords is going to be at. He just says, take me to this Safeway.
Okay.
So the cab driver's fine with it. Obviously, he's not going to question why he wants to go to Safeway.
Yeah, he takes like 33 grandmas a day to Safeway to cash exactly. their checks and get groceries.
Yeah, so they're inside together. There's surveillance footage of Jared being weird. And then, so outside where Gabby Giffords is set up, there's your entrance. You know, Safeways generally have two entrances, like any grocery store. So one of the entrances, she has her table set up, and it's her. She's standing in the middle. She's got a federal judge named John Roll and a couple of her
cronies?
Her
pathetic-ass bodyguards.
Her district leaders, basically.
Sorry.
So she's got a couple important people that are part of her, like, campaign, basically, that she won. So they're all kind of standing around. Jared walks out, and he walks up to John Roll and Giffords district director named Ronald Barber, who are both kind of just chatting around waiting for everything to start. So he walks up to Judge Roll and he says something along the lines of, is that the congresswoman? And Judge Roll doesn't think anything of it. He's like, everyone's here to see her. So he points at her. So Jared walks in front of the table where Gabby Giffords is standing right behind, and he pulls his gun out, points it in her face, and fires. So his first bullet that he shot goes straight through her forehead above her left eyebrow and straight through her head. And so her district director, Barber, gets down and starts tending to her. And he's basically credited for saving her life because he attended to her so quick. So Jared fires, shoots him in the back, and then he also fires at Judge Roll, who dies immediately. So he empties, or he shoots a couple shots at everybody standing around the table, and then he turns to his left, which is where the line is formed, the crowd is formed, and he just fucking lets loose. He starts shooting everybody.
Just with one gun?
Just with this Glock, yeah. His 9mm had a 30.
Oh, right.
30-round magazine.
Okay.
So it is, and it's a semi-automatic. So he turns to his left, he shoots at the crowd. First shot hits a 9-year-old. She's dead immediately. And he fires all of his bullets. 6 people die. 13 are injured.
6 people?
6 people are dead. Wow. And so he shoots his full magazine. He empties it. And he's got a ton of ammo on him. I don't know how much he bought from Walmart, but he's got a ton of ammo on him. So he reaches in, I think, to his pockets, and he grabs another clip, and he gets ready to load his fucking
magazine,
gun.
Babe. We don't magazine. Need the gun nerds getting all up in our shit about how it's not a clip. I don't know what I'm talking about.
I just know how he shot people. So he takes his fucking magazine out, and he gets ready to
That's
load his
gun.
That's how you
get shot.
He's getting ready, and some lady storms up to him and straight smacks it out of his hand. She grabs it out of his hand,
Fuck
and she
yeah.
throws it. And so he pulls out another magazine.
Do you know what her name was?
No. I don't know what her name was. But he pulls another magazine out of his pocket, and his spring fails. So he's not able to load his gun this time, and he gets tackled by 2 men. And that's pretty much it. There's really nothing. I mean, he gets tackled, and he just gives up. That's it.
There's
yeah,
because
he's
no,
a little fucking bitch.
Absolutely no fight. So
he accomplished. He thought he accomplished what he was there to do.
Exactly.
That was
so
crazy.
He, as long as Gifford's is shot, that's all he fucking cared about. That's all he wanted to do, but he was like, I'll take some more people out.
So did he think she was dead at this time?
He still thinks she's dead.
Yeah. So, I mean, now he's being arrested. So they cops tackle him, or the
no,
cops, no, the
it
two
wasn't,
people tackle him.
There was random people.
Cops
so everyone's, it's an absolute shit show. Everyone's running, you know, everyone heard shots fired, and they run out. There's lots of nurses in the crowd, thank God.
How long did it take the cops to get there?
Not long at all. I think just a couple minutes. But the first sheriff that shows up on scene, he arrests Jared, and first thing Jared says, the only thing Jared says the entire time is, I plead the fifth.
Oh, jeez.
So he's taken into custody. Nothing happens. That's it. He just gives up.
So
and
no, like, wild chase, no shootout with the police. He just...
No, really? He's just totally gives up. He thinks he... is accomplished what he wanted to do, and that's it, and he's okay with whatever, and he pleads the fifth.
So he essentially, because walking up to someone who's not paying attention and they're off their guard and shooting them in the face is essentially a sucker punch.
Mm-hmm.
So he eventually just wanted to go up, take his cheap ass shot,
mm-hmm.
kill as many people as he could. Especially Gabby Giffords.
Especially Gabby Giffords.
And then he didn't give a fuck after that.
So was he really trying to kill all the people that he could? Like,
you
or
know,
was that just like a secondary...
I think it was just a secondary thing. I think he was like... I don't even think there's a lot of planning that went into this. I think he bought a gun because he was planning something. I don't think he really knew what. But as soon as this congresswoman on your corner was set up, he was like, I'm going to go there. I'm going to shoot Gabby Giffords.
It almost seems like... Because, I mean, if you go in, you get the cab fare... And then you walk out from the Safeway instead of coming from the parking lot to this situation. You're coming out of the Safeway. It's like a situation of it, like 50-50. You either do it or you just keep walking.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And the other biggest thing, too, is that he approached Judge Roll and he said, is that the congresswoman?
How the
so
fuck did he not even know what she
looked
like?
He didn't even know what she looked like.
I thought he asked
she
her
had
a question
to
at
be,
one point.
He did.
Is
but...
this some sort of MK Ultra mind control thing happening
no.
here? They're just
no.
He's
nope.
actually, that rule
nope.
is the programmer, and he had to say the secret word to get Gifford shot because she stumbled in on something she shouldn't
oh,
have known.
Oh, my goodness. No.
Sleeper agent. No, not at all. There's no way.
No, I don't think there's any MKUltra going on here, but, you know.
There are tunnels under the base.
We will never
Right under
this.
Our house.
Right under our house. Now you're giving away where we live.
Close to the base, motherfuckers.
So, like I said, there was nothing that really happened after he got arrested besides him saying, I plead the fifth again. And... he's taken into custody, has some squabbles with his court-appointed...
He got mad squabbles? Hey, he's, cowboy, you got mad squabbles, boy!
He's got some squabbles with his court-appointed attorney, but basically, on January 19th, he's indicted on 3 charges, and these 3 charges were some of the biggest ones you can have. So he killed a federal judge. He tried to assassinate a federal employee.
These charges sound like they're from the old Wild West, like, kill a federal judge, hang him by the neck until dead.
So he's sent to the United States Penitentiary, which is here in Tucson, and he's interviewed by his psychiatrist there, and he's diagnosed officially with schizophrenia. So we finally have something that we can, that, I mean, everybody knew about, but he's finally actually diagnosed.
So is this going to lead into him pleading insanity? But he's already in prison, so did they not go for the insanity
defense? See, the thing in Arizona is you actually cannot plead not guilty by reason of insanity. Oh, it's really? Actually not a plea that you can take. You can be guilty but insane.
Okay.
But you cannot be not guilty by reason of insanity.
So does the guilty but insane carry a lighter sentence or a different style sentence?
I don't know what the sentences carry, but basically you're still guilty.
Okay.
So you're fucking insane, but you're still guilty. You're going to spend the rest of your life.
You still fucking did it.
You're going to go to, you know, a mental institution for the rest of your life and never be let out.
So is that where he's at now?
No, he's still at prison, but he's being seen. There's a lot of interviews he does with psychiatrists that say he's schizophrenic. And on May 3rd, he's indicted by a federal grand jury on 49 counts.
Oh, jeez.
So he's got lots of attempted assassination, lots of murder in the first degree, lots of probably felony murder, which I don't know if you guys know what felony murder is, but basically in the act of committing another crime, if you accidentally kill someone or if someone dies because of your first felony crime that you're committing, it's a felony murder, which carries a higher charge than first degree. So he pleads not guilty to all 49 of them.
And these are death penalty charges, right? Like
these are all death penalty, yeah. Any sort of murder in the first degree in Arizona, I think, carries 25 to life, unless if you plead, you can get 25 to life, but if you don't plead, you're going to get
the death penalty. Yeah, it's going to be a capital case.
Yeah.
Okay.
Give them that chair, boy.
So, May 25th, the judge that is overriding his case actually finds him not competent to stand trial because of his schizophrenia. So he's ordered to continue his antipsychotics until he's able to understand the court proceedings, which is fair. I mean, if you don't know what's going on, if you don't know why you're being charged with what you're being charged with, you shouldn't go to court. But they can't let him just be like, well, I was insane. So there's a big ethics thing because the judge ordered that he was allowed to be forced his medication. So
I don't think that's any ethical violation when we've noticed that the man killed, you know, was it 9 people? 6 people?
6 people. 6 people, 6 people. Injured 13.
Injured 13. Yeah, I think there's a case to be made that man should be forced to take his medication. Yeah,
so
there's a case to be made that he made those 13 people stronger, though.
How so?
What doesn't kill you makes you stronger, bro.
Yeah, you're probably awkward right.
Silence on that one. Right. No one had anything to say.
They're all strong. Bro's not peeing in a bag for the rest of his life or anything.
So this whole ethics thing, so during his trial where the judge rules that he's not competent to stand trial, he has an outburst. And he says, thank you for the freak show. She died right in front of me. And something, he says either.
Wait, referring to who?
Gabrielle Giffords.
She didn't die, though.
So he says either you're treasonous or thank you for the free shot, depending on who you asked that was in the courtroom that day. So his whole squabble with his attorney, his court-appointed attorney, was that Gabby Giffords is dead. He is 100% convinced that Gabby Giffords is dead. And so he keeps asking for a change of lawyer because his lawyer every time is like, she's not dead. And he's like, yes, she is. I shot her. She died in front of me. So this is never granted, obviously. He keeps his court-appointed lawyer. And eventually he's like, oh, maybe she's not dead. But his whole thing and his outburst was on the fact that the judge was like, attempted murder. And he was like, you're treasonous. She died in front of me. She's dead.
Oh, what wow. The fuck? So he was under his own delusion that he believes that he had killed her. It doesn't matter what people say, whatever evidence they show him. His delusion is correct that she is dead. Now, he doesn't obviously still believe that since he's been on the medication in there, right?
We really don't. I mean, we don't have any interviews, but I'm pretty sure he finally grasped that she was not dead. But we don't know. He's on his antipsychotics still. I can only assume he's been in prison. Where's he at now? I don't know exactly where he's being held, actually. But
do you think it's just the prison out there off of south of the city?
A home of Beaumont? I doubt it.
Yeah. I doubt he's still in Tucson.
He's probably at least in some federal max up in Florence.
So, a lot of prisons in Arizona. Yeah.
That is one thing
a lot
we
of
have.
Crime.
So in August of 2012, which the shooting happened January 8th, 2011, in August 20 of 12, he is found competent to stand trial, and he enters a plea deal. So he pleads guilty to 19 of the 49 counts to avoid the death penalty.
I mean, but they had him dead to rights on the death penalty. I mean,
19, and he's not going to get the fucking chair?
Yeah.
Come on.
But,
I don't think they do the chair. I think they do
the injection.
Well,
you get the idea.
The nice thing about this plea deal that he took is actually that they gathered all the victims, including Congresswoman Giffords and her husband, Mark Kelly, and...
How long was it till she could talk again?
I want to touch on how great of a person Mark Kelly is, who is Gabby Giffords' husband and also an astronaut. So number one, cool guy, because he's an astronaut. Number two, if you're single right now and you need a husband, you need to marry someone like Mark Kelly. Because he did basically everything for her. He spoke for her, and he spoke in behalf of her in front of the court when everyone gave their victim statements in front of Loeffner. And he nursed her back to health. He was there with her constantly. So just overall great guy. But he was the one that agreed to this. I mean, he knew how to communicate with her when she was in her recovery. So everybody, all the victims agreed, including the families of everybody that died, all of the injured, the family of the injured, everyone agreed to this plea deal. They were like, okay, he can plead guilty to avoid the death penalty. We're fine with that. So with his guilty plea, he actually waived his right for any appeals that he could make. So he can never go to
the appellate court.
The appellate court. I can't never say that word. But he can never go to the appellate court and make any appeals. He will never be out of prison. And he is sentenced to 7 consecutive life sentences plus 140 years without parole.
Okay, so yeah, he's going to be there forever.
Yeah, he's going to be there until the day he dies. But he was sentenced on November 5th, 2012, so only a year after the shooting, which is...
Because he killed a judge. They were like, there ain't
You're going
to
fast-track justice on that one, because it's
a
high-profile case.
You know, this would have been dragged on for God knows how long if he would have had any appeals. So I think the reason...
if he wanted to actually go to trial, right?
He waived his right to trial and to appeals by pleading guilty, which is kind of,
Why did he do that exactly?
To avoid the death penalty.
So he didn't get electrocuted.
Sorry, right.
Yeah.
I knew that.
So I think this is another reason that the families were all kind of okay with it, because number one, they don't have to go to trial. Number two, they don't have to go to trial for all of his appeals.
Yeah, I mean, it comes down to 5 years of your life investing in trying to get some justice or satisfaction out of this event, and then... it going to a year, and you're just like, okay, yeah, we're going to get the justice that we want this fast,
Now that we have come to a consensus on how we hope he's dealt with it.
He's an interesting-looking dude, so I'm not sure anybody really find him attractive. But then again, rape is not about attraction. It's about power.
Yeah, and if none of you have seen his mugshot, go fucking look at it,
because
he is crazy.
What's up with the shaved eyebrows?
Yeah, what's up with the shaved eyebrows? Do you have anything behind that? He was just in a
he just shaved his eyebrows, shaved his head. That was pretty much it.
Do you think maybe it's possible that he was shaving his head and, like, his mom called his name and he turned and looked, like, in that stupid, terrible movie with Dan Cook, and he shaved off one eyebrow and then he was like, fuck, I gotta commit
now. No, I think he
now.
Was crazy, so I think if he had shaved off one accidentally, he would have just left one of them.
Yeah.
I'm like, this is fine. I'm fine with this.
This looks
I look
fucking
good.
Awesome. This looks like war
paint.
Yeah,
I have a feeling it was kind of like you guys haven't seen The Wall, the Pink Floyd rock opera, but at some point in that movie... Pink goes insane and shaves his eyebrows off and becomes Hitler. So I think that was kind of Loeffner's
Hitler
main
had no
goal.
Eyebrows?
Yeah, his idea was just...
No,
you know,
it's...
I'm just kidding.
We're not going to go into the plot of The Wall right now because it's really intense. But basically, he shaves his eyebrows off. He looks just like Loeffner. So I want to go into a couple extra things that I really couldn't find any information on but were interesting. So... I read through, not a lot of people have done this, but I read through all 1,700 pages of the FBI documents that they released.
You read 1,700 pages
yes,
of FBI
I did.
Documents.
So 5 years ago, the FBI released, I mean, they're heavily redacted, so I probably only read like 1,000 pages. But they released a bunch of documents, and 90% of them were anonymous calls to their tip line that they set up to find his accomplice. So there's a lot of surveillance footage. We have seen pictures of this guy that was supposedly with him in the Safeway the morning of the shooting. Originally, they thought that he somehow took part in it. And then they...
Was that the cab driver?
Yeah, it was the cab driver. Basically, I had found absolutely nothing on the internet besides in the FBI files about whoever the fuck this guy was. Nobody said anything about it as soon as the tip line was closed. And they were like, oh, no, never mind. We fucked up. So they don't say anything. As much as I can figure, it was the cab driver that he was in the surveillance footage, or just some poor fucking guy that got caught being wrung out by the cashier next to the fucking Jared Lee Loeffner. Nah. And he was like, I'm sorry, guys.
That was his handler. He was kicking off the MK Ultra
wrong place,
training.
Wrong time, yeah. Guys. I wasn't involved.
It was just some guy behind him trying to translate his sign language for the person standing behind the, like, cashing him out. And he was like, got mistaken for his accomplice.
Yeah. So there was hundreds of tips on who it could be. There's tons of women that were like, that's my ex, that's my husband,
why did
that's
they need
my
tips
boyfriend.
Just to like what he was about for his
because
past and
they,
stuff?
Or... They had no clue who he was. So they posted a picture of him and they were like, if you know who this guy is, he might be involved in some crazy shit. You need to tell us. So everyone was calling, trying to call out their boyfriends and their husbands and their shitty exes. And then...
Well, he was missing eyebrows. He probably looked like a lot of people.
Because the eyebrows are the most distinguishing
this
feature
poor...
on
seriously,
a human face.
If you take eyebrows off of someone,
but
they look
poor
like
cab
a fucking
driver,
Nazi.
He was literally just in a gray sweater and blue jeans. He looks like a totally normal guy. So there was another person that said it was four shooters, that there was four people that shot six people, which I don't think makes any sense.
I don't
only
appreciate
six people died.
That particular.
But his... The biggest thing that I thought was funny was that he said the mafia was involved, but he didn't say, like, the Italian mafia, some other mafia, some people from Mexico. He
El
just said,
Salvadorian
the
mafia.
The no-eyebrow mafia.
That's why.
That's their calling card.
The 3-6 mafia?
The 3-6 mafia.
Yes.
So, basically, I'm pretty sure this guy was a cab driver. If you see any information about him being involved, he wasn't. He had nothing to do with it. Jared Lee Loeffner acted on his own, and... Don't blame anybody else for this. And all of our surviving victims have made complete recoveries, including Gabrielle Giffords. So right after the attack, she was transferred to UMC, which is University Medical Center, which is the U of A's hospital in Tucson. And 38 minutes later, after she arrives to the hospital, she goes into surgery. So they acted quick, and they removed part of her skull, so her brain could swell, which is pretty common for TBIs or something like that. She lost all feeling on the right side of her body. Her hearing, her sight were super diminished, and she couldn't talk anymore. Because the left side of your brain controls your hearing and your speech and the right side of your body. So she lost basically everything besides the creative side of her brain. So
she is one hell of a graffiti thinker now.
But she's made, if you see her talk, she's made a complete recovery. She's got a service dog named Nelson, who's a yellow lab. He's very
Nelson.
Cute. He's with her all the time.
We got to find some pictures of Nelson.
Yeah, we'll put him up on our page that we'll have to make.
So she's pretty much she's good now. She just, not too long ago in January of this year, which is 2019, she went in front of Congress and talked about how Arizona needs to tighten up our gun laws, basically, and that private party gun purchases need to have background checks.
Yeah, understandable her position on that. She got shot by a crazy person. Good news is she made it. Bad news is six people died.
Mm-hmm.
And
including a nine-year-old.
Including a nine-year-old, and Crazy Boy is still kicking it up in prison and will be there for the rest of his life, so he has no chance to harm anyone again. There, he's gonna be on his medication.
He's gonna harm our pocketbooks, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, harming us by
the good thing to know is that he is 31 and he will live a long, happy 70 years in prison.
I'm going to make a prediction. I'm gonna make a prediction that he will get murdered with a toothbrush that is filed into a shiv sometime before his natural death.
You know, I'm honestly, I don't know if that's going to happen. I think he's if
he
he's
shot been, a 9-year old.
He's been in there for long enough that if it hasn't happened yet,
eventually they're gonna slack up on his protection.
They're gonna catch him slipping, and they're gonna give him the old stibby stabby.
Definitely some razzle dazzle. I'll give tell him that much.
Yeah, hit him with the old razzle dazzle.
It's unfortunate to admit, but I don't think anyone would shiv him in prison for shooting Gabby Giffords. I think they would shiv him for shooting the 9-year old and killing her. So. I mean,
well, yeah. I mean,
maybe you don't know. There could have been a real.
I have,
let's try and end it on a positive note, and not necessarily on the shiving, the potential shiving death.
He was also held in solitary for his entire time that he was in trial. So I have a feeling he's still in solitary since he's on such a rigorous antipsychotic.
Yeah.
So he had maybe an hour out a day, a weekly shower, 23 hours in his cell.
Have fun with your own thoughts, Jared.
Yeah. Seriously, Gabby Giffords did not die, so you fucking failed.
Is there anything else we want to talk about with Jared Lee Loughner? Or are we going to close the book on this and get out of this incredibly sweltering hot room where I am basically dying again?
I mean, we can touch on again that if you see someone struggling that you know needs some professional help, get them help.
Yeah, please, and don't be afraid to call the police if you see something crazy or something out of the ordinary.
There is nothing they can do that will make matters worse. If something is seriously wrong with this person, they're going to get them help. If there's nothing wrong with this person, they can be on their way. And that pretty much wraps it up for Jared Lee Loughner. Thanks for listening, everybody. I'm your host, Katie Renner.
And I'm Rory Allard.
And I'm Jake Sanders. This has been the Four Corners Crime Cast. Thank you very much for listening. If you guys have any questions, comments, or concerns, or if you have a case that you would like us to look into and maybe make an episode on in the future, please feel free to shoot us an email at fourcornerscrimecast@gmail.com. That's FOUR crimecast@gmail.com. Have a great week.